This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning and welcome. Thanks to the Junks, thanks to Pete, we're Grant and Danny. We're happy to have you here on 106.7 The Fan. There's so much to get into. Anytime. It's been 3 days since you, me, Danny last spoke. The rundown's a little full, a little jam packed.
It always happens. It's like Friday at 2:02. Guess what? Here comes the cap settlement. Bryce Harper's got 900 more rumors. Everyone's like, somebody may be potentially having some opportunity to sign at some point, but he also may not be. It's all happening, and it's annoying. As soon as we get off air, then there's like 3 days worth of buildup.
We got a lot of ground to cover today. We'll be with you until 2 o'clock. Ideally, by the way, we're going to be flying to West Palm Beach tomorrow as a show. We're supposed to fly out of Reagan National. Now, our flight got moved up from around 5 o'clock to 3 o'clock weeks ago. I think we got a 3:35 bird in the air time tomorrow. There is snow on the way. There's supposed to be some ice, some freezing rain. It's going to be disgusting. So we're now in kind of wait-and-see mode. But we will be on our way to the airport as of 2:05, hoping for the best tomorrow, playing our favorite game this time of year, which just about every other year going to spring training, there's some type of massive snowstorm that hits right as we're supposed to fly. So the game tomorrow is going to be, does the Grant and Danny radio show get in the air before they stop all flights out of D.C.? That'll be the game.
Airborne or not? Like, just thinking of a simple way. You can follow along at home. Just look out your window. If it's gross and awful and ice, just there's ice accumulated, stupid snow accumulated at Reagan. I'm nervous about it.
I wonder what the snow accumulation totals would be at Reagan.
Well, they're very trustworthy there. They've never lost an instrument in the middle of the game. They've never just lost count and said, we'll just go with what it was in the third quarter.
That's what they did. Be curious to see how accurate their measurements are and who might be closer to the pin.
They lost their privileges.
If the show was to make a prediction. Let's get real quick before we hit on Bryce Harper and the Redskins and Joe Flacco. There's, again, just so many things. Normally, there's like three items we really care about, and we can dig a mile down into the ground. We get out Harry Stamper's drills, and we find oil eventually.
I'm going to make that depth.
Today, there's more topics, so maybe it's a couple inches deep with a shovel, and then we move along to the next one. But before we get into Bryce Harper, the Caps got a big win last night, and Alex Ovechkin scored two more goals. So he's got 42 goals right now,
42.
Far and away your leader in the NHL. He's going to win the Rocket Richard Trophy again, which is the award that goes to the leading goal scorer in the sport. He's going to win that award for the eighth time. Nobody's ever done that before. What he's doing right now is unlike anything we've seen in his era. He's the greatest goal scorer of our time, maybe of all time. And I was talking to Al Kokin about this last night on NBC Sports Washington. He's still dramatically underrated in Washington, D.C. It's insane. But twice last night, carbon copies from his office. Even though it was a holiday on President's Day, he was working.
Nick Backstrom eyeing the middle. Back to Carlson, onto Ovechkin. One-timer, he scores! Alex Ovechkin, second power play goal of the night. And it's 3-0, Washington!
His goal pace climbing again last night in game number 60. You extrapolate out the average and what he's on pace for right now, 57.5 goals.
It's absurd.
33-year-old start of the season, over 57 goals. He might score 60 goals this year.
If he has a nice little run where he's got one of those 7 goals in 4 games things going on, then yeah, he might just do it. He's got a great chance to lead the league in goals. Even that in and of itself, for guys north of 30, we're already past remarkable. We're already in some weird territory.
I'd go further than that, by the way. I think it would be a stunner at this point if he doesn't. No one's gotten within 4 goals of him in a couple of months. I mean, now, Patrick Kane is knocking on the door of doing that at this point. But the way he's scoring, Danny, yeah. I think that one is over, and the question becomes, Is it 52? Is it 57? Yeah. Is it 60?
It is incredible. And the again, eras matter so much, right? In the NFL, look at the eras now, where if you don't throw for 4,000 yards, you didn't. What did you do? Did you even play quarterback? Whereas when I was a kid, Joe Montana had a quarterback rating around 90, and that was thought to be never be top. That was unbelievable. Now it's routine just because, again, the game evolves. Well, hockey has evolved the other way. It used to be a 7-5 game was the most normal thing. You watch the Edmonton Oilers play, Gretzky to Yuri Curry, you know, Esatikinen and everybody else, and Messier, they're scoring, you know, 200-point seasons are routine. They're mundane. Goals are now tougher to come by and have been for some time. You look at the all-time goal scorers in the history of the league, only a couple crossed into this era, and that was at the end of their career. Someone like Jaromir Jagr, who's played for 30 years, is kind of the exception. But Brett Hull ended in 06, right around when Ovechkin is getting started in 05. Everybody else is in that 1980 to 2000 window when goals were easier to come by. In this era, relative to league strength, he's the greatest goal scorer of all time.
NBA All-Star festivities over the weekend. You got to go back to Saturday night for the dunk contest, the three-point contest. Probably not worth spending a lot of time on, but I'll just say that, you know, there is no endeavor in sport that I more routinely watch knowing I'll be disappointed than the slam dunk contest. Mm-hmm. It still lives, I think, off of the nostalgia of Vince Carter. You know, I can go through even of the last 10 years the moments that were exciting and fun for me. Dwight Howard with his cape on, or Gerald Green blowing out a cupcake with a candle on the rim. Most of the time, it stinks. I thought it stunk again this year. Hamidou Diallo kind of saved it. He was fun. He and Zion Williamson had an epic dunk contest as amateurs a couple years ago, and maybe they'll try to run that back and bring the dunk contest back next year. But you can almost take the broadcast audio and just replay it every year. The dunk contest is back, baby!
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's so dumb. It's never back. It just doesn't translate very well on TV at this point. I don't know.
Too many breaks. That's the thing. And the nostalgia, it's funny you didn't even mention the real nostalgia, like Dominique and MJ in their primes going out.
Before our childhood, sure.
Yeah, and the time before time. That's when it was truly great, when stars would do it. Now it's a group of no-names. Listen, I know who John Collins is because I'm an NBA nerd, but who's excited about watching John Collins do anything? Nobody knows who that guy is.
How many of our listeners, honest question, this is dead serious, give me a percentage, know Hamidou Diallo?
Half a percent.
Exactly.
If that much.
So, and you're supposed to care that he has a good dunk? You just don't care.
By the way, speaking of Collins, way underrated, the touching the backboard and then dunking it on the other side and only got a 40, that's incorrect.
Right.
That was an incorrect score. But the reason you watch the dunk contest is you might see something. And you're often disappointed. You're disappointed 99% of the time, but you might see D. Brown cover his eyes. You might see, you know, Kenny Skywalker doing the running man in the air. You might see Harold Miner, you know, rock the baby to sleep. You might see Vince Carter put his arm in the rim. There's always that one thing that everyone remembers. Aaron Gordon from a couple years ago, the chair dunk, is the greatest dunk I've ever seen in my life.
Diallo had the moment of the night, you'll remember, when he dunked over Shaq, elbow in the rim, hung from the rim, and then showed off a Superman shirt underneath of his jersey.
Great.
So that was creative. That was good. I'm pretty sure I've seen 7 people dunk over Shaq at this point.
I know.
He gets brought out from the broadcast, set up every single year, and stands there and kind of bends down a little bit so people can dunk over.
I dunk my head so nobody hits their junk.
I've seen it a bunch.
Yeah, I'm done with it.
But it was actually awesome flair for the dramatic, for Diallo to kind of hang there from the elbow and then show off the chest. I thought that was really cool. But again, it was 2 or 3 moments in the course of 40 minutes of dunk contest that wowed you. I don't really know how to fix it. Again, it's a worse version of the home run derby,
yep.
And every year we say the home run derby is terrible TV, and it probably is. This, to me, is worse. What they're doing is incredible, but it just doesn't necessarily translate.
It doesn't. You're right. It's not good anymore.
And, by the way, the winning dunk of the night was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just had to basically dunk because, I think it was Dennis Smith Jr., tried to dunk and unsuccessfully failed 5 times and didn't get a dunk off. So then he just kind of did this silly dunk that was like, oh, I saw a guy do that at the gym on base. Like 3 years ago when I was playing pickup basketball.
That's right.
That's how you won the dunk contest tonight, I guess.
Anticlimactic.
Okay.
Remember when John Wall was the, quote, dunker of the night and no one knew if he won or not?
Right.
Like, what is that? Does that mean he wins? Or
what is the dunker of the night?
He's the dunker of the night.
The one other thing I'll say about the dunk contest, too, was I need to get rid of the guy misses the first. It's supposed to be 3 tries. They were giving guys 4 tries for whatever reason. But guy misses the first 3 dunks. And then gets the 4th one, and we act like the rest of them didn't happen as a broadcast. So So here's what I mean. Like, go up, try to dunk, miss, Dennis Smith Jr. Then the fourth time he gets it, and Kenny Smith goes nuts for the highlight after the fact. Like, the rest of the stuff didn't happen. Like, can you believe that? It's like, yes, I saw him almost do it three times immediately before this.
It's very believable.
I think the broadcast is probably part of the problem. Part of the problem for me is I'm pre-annoyed by anything that's happening.
But how do you raise the bar?
It's just five guys talking over each other, acting like things are more interesting than they are. There's no authenticity to it.
But the bar has been raised so high that human beings, we've seen it all. I mean, again, we've seen everything that you can see,
basically.
There's
only so many dunks you can do.
You know, it's like, oh, the incredibly athletic 6'7 guy jumped higher than any human being has ever jumped before. Okay. Well, he took off from the free throw line. Zach LaVine took off from the foul line, basically, and put the ball between his legs a few years ago. What? That's an X-Men character. Human beings can't do that. So how do you top it every year?
How much All-Star game did you watch?
Very little.
Really?
Very little. Yeah.
It surprises me a little bit. I enjoyed it. I mean, look, I don't need defense. I don't care if the scores are in the 170s. Team LeBron's down like 30 points much of the night and ends up winning. And I think one of the teams hit almost 43 pointers.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't good basketball by any means, but there was athletic feats taking place, which is kind of what I was looking for. But again, it's a different thing than if you want an All-Star game that resembles the normal game, this is not for you.
This is not your thing.
The weekend itself probably needs a little makeover.
But it kind of crept up on us. There's no hype. We're in Charlotte, you guys. Charlotte. You know? Nobody cared.
Yeah.
Nobody cared about the weekend. And because the Wizards are so terrible and it's so depressing, I think there was less energy even with that.
That's probably part of it for us. We're just angry at the Wizards.
So salty.
Take it out on the weekend. Grant and Danny, you are listening to The Fan. Bryce Harper has yet to sign anywhere. It's February 19th. We were tracking flights and planes from Las Vegas to Clearwater over the weekend.
Like a Santa tracker bit.
Weird couple of days. We'll give you the latest on Harper. And when is this going to end? When is this charade going to be over? We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
How do athletes stay in shape? Yes, they work out an awful lot, right? More than you and I probably do. But you know they all have nutritionists and coaches. Now, you can lose weight and gain muscle just like the pros with EMP-180 weight loss. EMP-180 is the standard of nutritionally-based weight loss in the Washington, D.C. area because it works like no other. EMP-180 is unique. EMP, they'll tailor a plan to fit your unique lifestyle. So my challenges are every day at 4 o'clock. Your challenges are every day probably some other time. Maybe it's breakfast. Maybe lunchtime. They will figure out what works for you, and you will get results.
For me, the number on the scale, which has always been so important, is less important now as trying to lose fat and gain muscle. In fact, I can gain weight in any given week because I'm up muscle and down fat, and I'm healthier. It's not a diet. This is why it's a lifestyle change. It's learning about your nutrition and what's in your body. It's a personalized experience, as Danny said. Everything is catered specifically to you. It was for me when I lost my 70, and Danny when he lost his 40, and for my brothers, who are down about 200 pounds combined right now. Get empowered with EMP-180 today for a consultation in Tysons, Rockville, Woodbridge, Alexandria, or Ashburn. Call 855-888-0180, 855-888-0180, or Google EMP-180.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. It is February 19th. Pitchers and catchers reported for work around Major League Baseball a week ago, and full squad workouts have begun in camps all over the country. Bryce Harper has still not signed anywhere. The first overall pick in the 2010 draft has been property of the Washington Nationals ever since, who is now 26 years old and looking for a record-breaking contract, is still waiting on being paid. He's played in 927 games and garnered 3,300 at-bats here in Washington. He's posted 180-plus home runs and over 520 batted in. He's a career .280 hitter with an OPS of 900, elite-level stuff, in his major league career. He won the Rookie of the Year and the MVP. You guys know the background on Harper with the Nationals. Over the weekend, Danny, the reports all started to swing the pendulum toward the Phillies. Everything from, and none of this has been proven.
There's nothing concrete.
Right, factual, but it's all just kind of rumblings. We've had everything from there are planes being tracked from Vegas to Clearwater. You know, like we used to do when Mike Shanahan was landing in Ashburn from Denver and we're waiting at the airport. And people are tracking these numbers on these private flights between those two locations. We've got Philly's employees yesterday being called and asked to come in on their day off on Monday on the holiday because there was something pressing and urgent that they had to tend to. We've got reporters from Bob Nightingale, who's had a lot of nuggets on the Phillies this offseason, to John Heyman, who is very close with Scott Boras and gets a lot of intel on Scott Boras' clients and advisees, saying things like, you know, the Phillies have emerged as the front runner. Nobody's used the word imminent yet. But this meshes with kind of what we've been saying all offseason. It looks like this is almost done. I have no idea why it isn't yet. But here we are on Tuesday the 19th. I feel like this has to be the week. We said that last week, and it didn't happen.
I was sure of it last week, so what do I know?
Is there any way we get to the weekend and Bryce Harper's still a free agent?
I'm no longer putting a deadline on this dumb thing. I'm not. I thought for sure he would look at the samples of people that don't get into spring training on time and say, oops, I need to make sure I'm at spring training on time, even if it means sacrificing $1.50 from one of these teams that's bidding on me or not bidding on me or kind of interested or maybe passing interest or showing interest or call me if someone else isn't interested. It's the Vince Vaughn speech about dating from Wedding Crashers. You know what I mean? I ouch on my hair. This sucks. I'm so sick of it. Because all we have are these non-report reports. Everything is couched. The Phillies are the favorite, but 17 different caveats, mystery teams, Padres maybe. Who knows about the White Sox? Don't count out the Padres. Also, and the Giants, Bruce Boch is retiring. I'm so sick of it. But where this is going to me, or where it is now, and this is just me reading the reports like everybody else. I have no inside info. Here's what it looks like to me. You know when the auctioneer goes, going once, going twice, and they say sold? They're just not saying sold.
Right.
They're going 2.5, 2.75, 2.875, 2.9, 2.11/12. Begging somebody else to come in and make a bigger
anybody
offer.
Anybody else?
Begging.
Somebody out there? I still feel like he's going to get a little more than $300 million, don't you? I mean, and I don't know really where that comes from. The original offer from the Nationals was $10 and $300. And here's my prediction, and this is what's going to happen, by the way. Whether he gets the $300 million the Nationals originally offered or he doesn't, it's going to be taken as if he chose to go to, let's say, Philadelphia at either the same rate or a little more or a little less than the Nationals. What's wrong? He didn't want to be with the Nationals? I got asked this question last night on TV by Brian Mitchell. He said, so wait a second. If he signs at, and we'll just throw it out there, at 310.
310.
The Nats offered him 300. $10 million not to stay here? He must not have wanted to be here. The $300 million is not available anymore. It was offered to him before free agency. Mm-hmm. He didn't yet know what numbers were out there. He didn't know when the Padres get in, they were going to at some point, how much were they going to offer? When the Giants hop in, are they going to be in the 4 to 6 year window that they're trying to sign him to? Or are they going to come at you with 10 and 300? So I think he and Boras, and if we end up being correct, my speculation is miscalculated a little bit that there would be suitors enough to drive the price up toward 350. But haven't you always felt like he was going to go where the money was best? Haven't you always felt like he wanted to break a record? This guy was programmed in a laboratory. Mm-hmm. And by the way, a lot of people take that and they look down on him or they have some animosity. I don't. This is his chance to do something no one's ever done before. Go out and get $350 million guaranteed to you for playing a sport. He's been waiting since 2010. He didn't get to pick the Nationals. They chose him.
Right.
He's never had the opportunity to pick where he works. So now, and I've felt like this all along, he's going to go to the highest bidder. All these teams he has a chance to win in the next couple years. And San Francisco is a little bit further away, in my opinion. But San Diego, best system in the minors. Philadelphia, 2 games worse than the Nats last year. Chance to win the division if he signs this season.
Even without him, they got a chance to win the division.
Chicago White Sox, terrible at the big league level, right? Oh, they've just got a casual 15 terrific prospects, 8 of whom are going to be blue chip studs at the major league level within the next couple seasons. He's going to have a chance to win. Doesn't really matter who he signs with in the next few years because either the teams are on the verge of winning like the Nats, mm-hmm. or they're within a year or two of being done a rebuild where they're going to be, see the Astros and the Cubs, top of the hill in a couple seasons. He's signing a several-year deal.
Yep.
So he's going to get that chance. I just think he's going to go to the team that pays him the most. The Phillies are $50 million under the luxury tax right now. They came into the offseason with monopoly money to spend.
And they've got it still, yeah.
And it's a ballpark, oh, by the way, that suits his skill set beautifully.
100%.
How would he not hit 45 home run at Citizens Bank Ballpark next year if he's healthy?
He would slump his way to 45 homers. I mean, seriously, he gets out of bed with 45 in that building. He put up ridiculous numbers. But to me, this is, I agree with you in the sense that what guys at this level, they're so competitive, okay? They care about things like, well, Zach Greinke got this. Giancarlo Stanton got this. I have to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those may not have been great contracts. But that's kind of where the impasse here. Here's what I think.
But players don't think that way.
Oh, I know. Of course they
right? don't. In other words, like if someone in radio got a certain amount of money and it was bad for the radio station, you don't care that it was bad for the radio station. You're saying, I'm more valuable than that guy.
Oh, of course.
Give me more money than that guy.
So what I think is happening, and again, this is tinfoil hat stuff. This is me listening to ham radio at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking that two whales are communicating with aliens. Here's what I think. I think they haven't signed yet because Scott Boras is like, we have to get to a certain number so nobody's embarrassed.
Exactly.
I think the number, the only thing we've seen is 310, and that's just somebody's tentative, maybe
right.
guess as to what it is. Maybe that's what Philly's offer is. We don't know. I think he's going, we can't sign until we get a certain number. Otherwise, this is going to look awful for us.
So, and that's why my guess, this is my best guess, right? I think it's going to be 10 and 330 to Philly. I think the Phillies are going to basically be in a position where they go, look, we'll close this deal with you right now. We'll fly him out there for the press conference. But we got to do better than Giancarlo Stanton.
Yep.
He feels like this is a failure. Otherwise, I feel like I let him down. You know, for business moving forward, we got to get to 330. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it ends up being 275 and he just takes the L, whether he'll admit it or not. But I feel like 330 all along is where they need to get to. If you're willing to give me 330, I'm willing to sign on the dotted line. Complete speculation, I think the Phillies get there. But ideally, we're going to find out in the next couple of days.
I think the Phillies are waiting because nobody else is getting there.
Here's the question, though, for you guys, and we'll open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines on this on Grant and Danny next. We'll get into the Redskins' interest in Joe Flacco. Luckily, the Broncos bailed us out, and Flacco didn't come here. 10:45, we'll do that. But next, have you moved on from Bryce Harper? In any relationship, there becomes a point where you just decide you're punting, where you move on. You say, you know what, I'm done with that person. I don't care if they come back to me or not. It's a binary. The light switch is up or it's down. I've moved on. We'll see if Danny has. Have you guys moved on or are you keeping the light on, Tom Beaudet style, for Bryce Harper
He'll
to come back?
Keep the light on for you.
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're Grant and Danny, and you're listening to The Fan. Joe Flacco, not a Redskin, was never going to be a Redskin. It was an impossibility. They couldn't bring him in because of money.
And yet.
But they apparently wanted to try. And look, people are going to be dismissive and say, doesn't matter, didn't happen. The fact that they wanted it to happen is everything that you need to know. It makes you worry about judgment. It makes you worry about their thought process, their inability to evaluate quarterbacks. We got to talk about this, and we will do that coming up in about 12 minutes at 10:45. But let's put a bow on Bryce Harper, very likely leaving the Nationals, at least for now, with some of your calls on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Here is the question. Have you moved on? I ask this, Danny, because last week we talked about the fact that, and I still believe this to be the case, anytime we talk about Bryce until he signs somewhere, frankly, we should have full phone calls. You know, we should have people scratching and clawing with each other to get in to discuss this guy. We're talking about the most polarizing athlete in DC sports of the last decade. We're talking about the most nationally renowned and recognizable figure in sports that this town has had, maybe in the better part of a quarter century, to be completely honest with you. And he might be walking out the door after nearly a decade here, 9 years since they drafted him. And it's kind of happening without much of a whimper. I think part of it is just how long this has dragged on.
The fatigue.
Part of it is that people cannot stay invested day in, day out for months. It's exhausting. And you can't, every time some other report pops up, say, oh, this might be the time that we find out that Bryce is actually leaving. So I do get some of the frustration and the disdain for the process that keeps you from being utterly engaged every single step of the way. But you're either in on this or you're out. And I bring this up, Danny, because last week when we were taking calls on this, a bunch of people did say on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson for me, at Funny Danny for DR, they said, you know, it's not that I'm happy that he's leaving. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm okay with him leaving. I still have hope that he's going to come back. So I'm not going to get overly upset or make a big deal about this until he's gone. I think that the Nationals are still going to get him. I don't understand that logic because it goes against all of the reporting being done and common sense and what Mark Lerner said on this show. But you know, we're told today in 2019 that the media is the devil and everything they say is fake. So people, I guess, just aren't believing the reporting that's being done. But a lot of people out there, I think, do think that Bryce Harper could still end up with the Nationals. Maybe that's part of why you haven't moved on yet. I have. In fact, I moved on early this offseason. I want to know if you have.
I've moved on. Well, let me rephrase. My understanding and my feeling has always been that 99% of the employees that get paid by the Washington Nationals know that Bryce Harper won't be here. But there's one man who could overrule all of that. And he may still be available to answer the phone in Ted Lerner, right? To overrule everything else. Baseball operations, they moved on. They signed Patrick Corbin. That was the indicator. We have X amount of dollars. We just subtracted more money from that X. We don't have enough to now pay Bryce Harper. That was a done deal for Mike Rizzo and his baseball office. They said, Patrick Corbin, please. Then you add in Brian Dozier. Then you add in two catchers. Once that's all done, the pile of money you told me we have to work from no longer includes right fielder number 34, Bryce Harper. They moved on. Has Ted Lerner? And that question sort of lingers here throughout, right?
You're still answering whether or not he's coming back.
What I'm saying is, the reason I think that some folks haven't totally closed the book on or whatever is this mystery fact. In terms of is he coming here, I've never thought he was. I've never thought he was coming back. I've always thought it would be somewhere else. I was wrong when I predicted my destination 6 months ago, whenever we started doing it. But I think it's pretty much a done deal that he's going.
Let me rephrase the question then, I guess. Because I'm not saying, are you saying there's 0% chance that he's coming back? Have you decided that he's gone? I'm saying emotionally, your attachment to Bryce Harper, have you moved on? Well, yesterday, I took a trash bag full of clothes to a bin right up the street from my house at a gas station where you can drop off clothing in one of those big blue boxes, right? In that trash bag was several Bryce Harper t-shirts. That's what I'm talking about.
I got you.
And this is not me burning shirts, by the way. This is not me mad at Bryce Harper in any way. I'm the opposite of that. I'm very happy for Bryce Harper. But I'm not going to wear t-shirts of players that aren't on the team, and someone needs that shirt more than I do. My point is, emotionally, my investment to him is no longer. Now, if he comes back to the Nationals next week, I'm out a bunch of shirts, and that stinks, and I'll probably have to replenish.
Right.
But, A, I don't think that's happening, and B, I have no attachment to him anymore. I look at him and I say, is it the Phillies or the Giants? To me, he's no longer a Nationals.
So let me try to answer it this way then. I have an attachment in so much as if he goes to Philly, I'll never forgive him, and I will boo him for the next 10 years or however long the contract is. So then, in that sense, I'm not over it. If he leaves and goes anywhere else, non-divisional opponents, really, it's Mets, Phillies, and the Braves. Not that those other two teams are in, but you see my point. If he comes back to torment me and goes with my mortal enemy and is now much happier or whatever and rejected my money, rejected my fandom and goes to them, I'm not over it. If he goes anywhere else, I've got plenty of closure.
Let's go to Donnie, who's in the district on Grant and Danny. Good morning, sir. How are
you? Donnie, how's it doing?
Good morning, boys. The problem we're having is just like you two are arguing. You have a baseball guy arguing with a non-baseball guy. There's no look at what they did outside. We have a field named after Bryce Harper because we didn't want to pay Ian Desmond. There's no reason you want to pay a corner outfielder that amount of money. We move on. Pay Rendon. That should only be the conversation. So Well, I'm done
here's
him.
The problem with that. You're right
Thank
in
you,
that
dude.
You don't build teams with through the corner outfield. You know how you build teams? With great players. You know who the best player was on the World Series champion last year? Their right fielder, Mookie Betts, who was the American League MVP, who led the league in runs scored, batting average, slugging percentage, and was a gold glover, a silver slugger, and an all-star. So the idea, the axiom sounds good. Don't build your team through corner outfielders. Okay, how about build your team through the best players in the league, which Bryce Harper's been one as recently as a couple seasons ago. Vic and Akakeek, how's it going?
Hey, Vic.
What's up, guys?
Chilling, man.
Good, man.
Oh, no problem. So I'm not a baseball guy. I don't even begin to start talking about baseball as I talk about football. But there are two words that come to mind. Overrated. Clap, 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 clap. Overrated. Now, Rant, you brought up Mookie Betts. And you talked about what Mookie Betts did across the stat sheet. I don't know much about baseball, but I know what I see when I see his stat sheet. He produces, he performs consistently over the past 3 to 4 seasons. What I can look at about Mookie Betts, I do know that what he's what's presented about him is what he shows consistently. He is not he doesn't have long slumps. He's not a cancer or can't be cancerous to his dugout. I mean to the clubhouse. He doesn't whine and pout when he doesn't get his way and presents it as some condescending comment to the media because. He wants to be liked or presented as something that is the best for the team.
Vic, I'm going to give you some of the off the field stuff that you know you talk about in the clubhouse or how he handles the media or what have you. He hit .264 last year with 24 home runs. Okay, so now he's a much more complete player in my opinion. Better defensive player, better base runner.
He's a superstar.
Stole 25 bases, but he hit .318 in 2016 and .350 in 2018. In the year between those two, he hit .260. So he doesn't slump. He's the same every year. That's not really the case. Let's go to Gabe in D.C. Hey, Gabe, how are you?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Good, buddy.
Doing well.
You know, I've been here my whole life. I'm Washingtonian. And I've come used to being my team's always losing. So I accept that. But one thing that I cannot stand is, you know, a player who doesn't rep my city. At the end of the day, if you don't want to be here, then don't be here. You know, I had a buddy who knew Champ Bailey back in the day, and he said, you know what? He's out of here. He doesn't want to be here. You know what? Now he's a Hall of Famer. I don't care. Like, he didn't want to be here. And, you know, like Ovi, he's a legend. He wants to stay here. He wants to be here. At the end of the day, all we got, if we're not winning, at least we got a player that's always representing our city.
I think I underrate and I completely sleep on this fact, and we should re-air that phone call sometime tomorrow and talk about this. Bryce Harper's, his entire legacy here, and I think the way people view Harp right now is wrapped up in the fact that, quote unquote, he never really took to the city. Doesn't matter how many times he told you he loved D.C. Doesn't matter what he says.
It didn't matter when he showed up in the mall and played softball with a bunch of after-work yokels.
Didn't matter because he wore a Vegas Golden Knights sweater when they played the Capitals, yeah. Which people are mad about.
Still mad
because
about
he's
that.
The Dallas Cowboys fan with his hat on Monday Night Raw. Because he's got a favorite team that isn't our teams in every sport. And I really genuinely believe people can't get past that. He still reps Las Vegas hard. He goes back to Las Vegas. He's not D.C. through and through year-round. Those things eat at people. Now, they don't for every athlete. You know, they pick and choose when that's a problem. But if you're not likable, which people just decided a while ago Bryce Harper's not likable enough because of some of those things, it does eat at you. But it's something we should double-click on at some point. Next, Joe Flacco is
Flacco.
Not a Redskin, and he's not going to be a Redskin. But that's not because the Redskins weren't interested. We got some details for you on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Joe Flacco.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
Real nice.
I have not gotten used to that yet. It's going to take some time.
Nor should you.
It's like when the new year comes and you're trying to write 2019 on any papers that you may have. The only time I actually ever write the date anymore is on the occasional check.
Yep.
How often do you write checks, by the way?
Every week, actually.
Really?
To nanny, babysitter, that kind of stuff. They're still dealing in the what do you call it? The non-digital type stuff. They like the hard copy. Yeah, I like the hard copy.
This is the oldest man thing that I do, and there are plenty of old man things in my game. I still will write a check and just put it right back in the envelope that they send you for any kind of like bills that I get medically or anything like that. So rather than going online and paying, if I get something from a doctor or from anything that is like out of the norm, where let's say it's a camera ticket, I might hop online and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, it's just let me just handle this right now.
Because you got the envelope and you fired it?
I open the envelope. They give me the envelope. I put a sticker on it. I write a check, put it in, and I never think about it again.
You got to eat dinner at 5 p.m. You wear slacks even when it's 100 degrees?
That's an old man move.
That's old man stuff right there.
Jot that down for a topic, because it's the off season for the next few days at some point. What's the oldest man thing that you do? I love that.
I do like that.
Do you have one for me off the top of your head?
I have to think about it, because I have a lot where it's just...
Oh, yeah, you're 118 years old, and I'm 96.
I've got so many things.
Two of us could bind.
Like, there's no concert now. There isn't one where you'd go, do you want to go? The answer's no.
That's an old man
thing. No act could play.
I mean, you hate everything in general. That's the oldest man thing that you do. Going out to dinner, I guarantee you complain about volume in a restaurant.
Oh, no.
You complain about lighting over the table.
No, I don't do that.
It's a lock. You say it's dark in here.
No, I don't do that.
You sure?
Because you know me. I like low light. I like it dark and cold.
But you're getting older now.
Well, the volume thing is a thing. Because I don't know what the scientific term is on this. It used to drive my wife crazy. But she always wanted, like before we had kids, she'd like want to go out and like go to bars and stuff. Just hang out. As we can hang out anywhere. We'd have to go to a bar and pay $11 for a drink. But whatever. So we have to go. I couldn't hear a word she said. I can't hear anything she says.
You're very bad at that.
This is 15 years ago.
You know who else is terrible at that? Me.
Yeah.
I am so bad.
What's the scientific term?
Is it like...
I call it filtered hearing, where if there's loud background music, like music that's way too loud, and someone's talking to me it just gets lost in the wash.
So I'm workshopping this, but far-sighted is a thing, right? It would be like far-hearing. In that someone right next to you is talking and you're picking up so much ambient noise around you in the room that it's hard to stay with what they're saying. But I'm the exact same way as you.
I cannot stand it.
I can't stand the fact that the Redskins thought about Joe Flacco for 1 second. So here's how we need to tackle this.
Yeah, set this up.
As a show and as a group of friends, as palship, as I like to call it. Here's how we're going to do this as a palship, you and I and our listeners. Everybody understands what happened. Joe Flacco got traded to the Broncos. Everybody knows that the Redskins could not have actually acquired Joe Flacco because of the salary cap unless the Ravens wanted to eat the vast majority of his salary. The information is readily available. If you don't care that they were interested in Joe Flacco, if you don't care that according to many reports out there, including a bunch of people now who cover the Broncos, and I saw these tweets all over the place, and I'll reference a couple of these specific radio hosts and paper people out there who said that this was the case. If you don't care at all that the Redskins thought, even for a split second, that Joe Flacco might be a nice solution as their quarterback in 2019, then we disagree wholeheartedly on this conversation. Honest to God, it's all I want to talk about. To anyone who will listen, I want to go sit on a bench at a metro station in D.C. just waiting for someone to walk by, and I'll say to everyone, hey, can we talk about Joe Flacco real quick? And someone will sit down, and eventually I'll Forrest Gump them for 3 hours with feathers floating around just talking about Joe Flacco. Troy Rank, who breaks a ton of news in Denver, is a Broncos insider sportscaster for Denver 7 at ABC. Hosting 3-6 on 104.3 The Fan, this guy I found wandering aimlessly in the parking lot talking about his co-host. His tweet right after that opened the show with a backstory on Joe Flacco. As I wrote for Denver 7, it came together so quickly because another team was interested. Washington was that team. And the report came as well from Darren McKee, who co-hosts The Drive out in Denver and is one of their beat people who's plugged in with the team. The Redskins were interested. They shouldn't have been. This tells you so much, by the way.
Now, the dismissive folks who love to say this is an on story from the beginning, it's an on story now, it never was happening, why are you even talking about it? Because there's a lot of tough guys in that regard. The Redskins were interested. Even the fact that they picked up the phone is enough to make this a story.
Here's why I'm talking about it.
This is not a tire kick, right?
Someone in that building thought it would be a good idea to sign a terrible quarterback for a bunch of money. That's why I'm talking about
it. To trade for him. To trade Grant. Not free agency. Not to kick the tires when he's out in the wild. Not to say, dude, whom do you prefer? Teddy Bridgewater, AJ McCarron, the ghost of Franz Harkington. You are going to give up resources and assets to take on that man and his contract.
If you have any football acumen, if the cuticle of your thumbnail is all the football knowledge you've got in your body, that thumbnail, when you lay down your little head on that pillow every night, should tell you, Joe Flacco don't have it anymore. He's not worth whatever you're going to be paying him. And oh, by the way, you're not close enough to try to play this game again with a veteran quarterback. It blew up in your face once already. Do what you need to do. Go young at the position. How do you look these people in the face? Whoever this is, it's Bruce Allen, it's Doug Williams. I don't know. I don't care. How do you look Kyle Smith and his scouts in the face and go, hey, last year we did the Alex Smith bit, and this year it's going to be the Joe Flacco move? Are you kidding me? The Redskins wanting to even have a conversation in a boardroom about Joe Flacco is blood boiling. It's infuriating. It tells you that they are screwed. This is the only position that you have to get right. They can't get it right. They haven't been able to in years. You can win getting the receiver position wrong. You can win botching the left guard spot or the right tackle spot. And I'm not telling you it's easy, but it can be done. You can win with a bad defensive line, accidentally. You can stub your toe into 10 wins every once in a while with a dreadful secondary win in shootouts. Now, teams missing on some long throws to open receivers. You have no chance if you can't evaluate the quarterback spot. And they have done nothing but mis-evaluate this position for years. This would be maybe the greatest example of that, to go out and get Joe Flacco. You say, well, the Denver Broncos did, so... No, there's a team that thought he was good. The other team that's been terrible at evaluating quarterbacks in the league.
It just has Mike Francesa, who's been pumping up John Elway's acumen at choosing quarterbacks, the Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum's, Trevor Siemian. Are any of those guys still in the league, by the way?
They probably will be this year.
They'll collect a paycheck from
the
somebody.
The only executive I can think of who's done a worse job handling the quarterback spot in the last 5 years than Bruce Allen is John Elway.
Yeah.
Those are the two teams in on Joe Flacco. Shocker.
I don't know how to properly express my irritation. You've done a very good job at describing yours. I need everyone to understand, even though it wasn't feasible, even if it was just a cursory phone call to check in, I need you to save on the long-distance charge. I need you not to dial 9 to get out. I need you to have the internal discussion where you're going down a list. I don't know who's at the meeting. You never know who does what over there, right? It's the murkiest power structure in the world until it becomes time to, you know, I don't know, do something major, then Bruce can't wait to tell you about it. I need the meeting to go like this. Flacco? Nope. Okay, next item on the up for business. Anything else? Do we keep the trainers whose guys are constantly hurt all the time? I need that to be the quickest dismissal of all time. The fact that a phone call was made tells you, as you said, they're screwed. They know it. They'll do anything to avoid, in their minds, taking a step back. They'll do anything to avoid it. They will sell their soul for that 6-10 record. Because before it was they'll sell their soul for 9-7. They give up whatever they have to. Now it's 8-8. Now the line is moving on down. Right? Up in salary cap hell,
well, I think
they'll
still
have a guy.
I don't think they view it as they'll sell their soul for 6-10. That's where I disagree with you. They'll sell their soul to have a shot to make the playoffs. And they think that Joe Flacco would give them a shot to do that. And that's my concern and my fear. Now we never really know who and what to believe because this stuff trickles out at different times. But like I heard from someone I really trust that Jay Gruden was not all that high on going and getting Alex Smith last year. And now you hear that midway through last season.
It's easy for that to come out now, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But my point is, we never really know who wants to do what and how the pecking order works. But does Jay Gruden want Joe Flacco? Because honestly, if he does, then I got serious questions about Jay Gruden.
Yeah.
Anyone who thinks Joe Flacco is a good option, at whatever amount of money you'd have to pay him this year as your starting quarterback, I question your judgment. I no longer think you know anything about NFL quarterbacks. I need to know. Someone should put their name on this and come out and say, I'm the guy. I thought we should maybe make a move for Flacco. I want to know so I know who in that front office needs to go as soon as possible.
And then I want to call security and escort them out of the building. Have someone pack their stuff.
Kick every rock on your way out of the parking lot, dodging all of the cats in the parking lot.
The feral cats are out there.
800-636-1067 is the number. The Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines are open. That's 800-636-1067. What's your reaction to the fact that the Redskins had internal interest in Joe Flacco, and the reason, according to reports in Denver, that the Broncos moved so quickly was Washington had legitimate interest and the Broncos were worried about the Redskins and Flacco? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Secret for you. Not as secretive as whom in the Redskins front office got the Flacco fever. Not who was steamed up for Joe Flacco, dear honey. Yeah. No. It's a cool secret. It's huge. St. James. The newest destination for active families in and around Washington, D.C. There is something for everybody here. Sports fans, how about two NHL-sized rinks, state-of-the-art fieldhouse, hardwood courts, even an Olympic-sized pool, and that's just the beginning. They got great coaches, competitive leagues in over 30 sports, and developmental training programs so you can learn at your own pace. Aside from sports, there's an active entertainment center with climbing and bouldering walls, trampolines, VR games, and a massive water park. Perfect for what? That unforgettable birthday party, right? Plus, premium health club with cardio classes like cycling, Pilates, dedicated personal trainers, and so much more. Post-workout, premium full-service spa is waiting for you with restorative massages, facials, and even cryotherapy because you can never treat you too well. To top it all off, how about a Spike Mendelsohn-designed restaurant and a health and sports medicine center? So much under one roof, St. James is the first place. Visit thestjames.co. That's thestjames.co. Enjoy today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.